Deuteronomy chapter 7. Can I ask a favor for you just one more time? Can I ask you to stand with me one more time as we read the Word of God today? If you're not able to, that's okay. I completely understand. There is no disrespect in that whatsoever, but I love to stand in a corporate setting as we read the Word together. And so as we begin the service this morning, I'd like to read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." We'll stop there. Let's pray before we get into the message. Jesus, we love you and we're thankful for our time together today. What a privilege it's been to worship you today with our brothers and our sisters. What a privilege it's been to come into prayer with one another and to lock shields with each other as we pray and ask God to meet the needs that we have today. And now, God, as we come to the teaching and the preaching of the Word, we consider that a privilege also. And as we come to it, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. Give us ears that we can hear what you're saying today and a mind that can comprehend it in a way that we can apply it to our life. As we apply it to our life, I pray that this Word from you, God, would seep down to the deepest parts of our soul and find good soil there so that that could be planted in our life and that that word from you would grow in us and that it would produce life in us and life to those around us. And finally, this morning, I pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us the courage to be the people you've asked us to be and to do the things you've asked us to do. We believe in the power of your word, God, and we are anticipating what you will speak to us this morning because your word is powerful and it is effective. In Jesus' name, can you agree with me today and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. The title of the message today is simply "The Faithful God," taken directly out of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. The faithful God. I'll repeat it. The faithful God. It's likely that that phrase causes a reaction of some sort to anyone who hears it, possibly even all of us who have heard it this morning in this building. Based on our experiences, that reaction may or may not be a positive one. For some, it's a reminder of how God came through. Somebody maybe say amen to that. As you remember when God came through, for some of us, it's a reminder of when God said no. Or he didn't come through the way we wanted him to come through. Or things didn't pan out the way we wanted it to pan out. And so to hear that God is faithful kind of stirs up some memories. And it reminds us of those moments where we really, really wondered if God truly was the faithful God. For the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, that phrase was a sobering reminder of the life of slavery their parents were delivered from 40 years earlier. And so in terms of just a really, really brief recap, 400 years of Egyptian heavy-handed slavery would come to an end. Moses would come in and the famous, my dad always mentions the Charlton Heston movie every time he talks about Moses, and so I'm obligated to do it today in honor of dad. You remember the Charlton Heston Moses movie? I remember the Prince of Egypt. Anyway, and so, yeah, okay, do I have any Prince of Egypt fans? Okay, beautiful. And we see the moment, we remember the moment when Pharaoh, or when Moses comes in the iconic line, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And the ensuing events that happen after that and the plagues and the eventual release of those slaves from their bondage. 400 years of slavery comes to an end. But it wouldn't be without trial nearly immediately because they reach the shores of the Red Sea. And when they see Red Sea in front of them, they look behind them and they see the hordes of the Egyptian army and their chariots and their horses pursuing hotly after them. And we know the story. Most of us probably could recite it better than me. God parts the waters. The Israelites walk through. And the armies of Pharaoh and the Egyptians are swallowed up into the sea forever to be no more. And the Israelites will go free into the wilderness towards the promised land. Hearing that phrase for those Israelites in Deuteronomy was also a shuddering reminder to those who heard it that the same people who were delivered from Egypt's heavy-handed slavery were the same people who turned in rebellion against God, grumbled and complained at every turn, or to the point of assassinating and overthrowing Moses, their leader, to the point that God caused them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and not a single person that was delivered from the slavery in Egypt would ever set foot in the promised land, not even Moses himself. And so the setting of Deuteronomy is on the east side of the Jordan River, looking across the Jordan River into the promised land and what would ultimately be their first conquest in Jericho. But on the east side of the Jordan, with Moses still living, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 says that Moses would come to the Israelites and recount the events of the last 40 years and prepare them to go in under the leadership of Joshua to conquer, take possession, and to live in the promised land. But before he does that, there is a chapter 7 and a verse 9 that says that God is God. He is the faithful God. Forty years of wilderness living was about to give way to a potential lifetime of inheritance living. The manna would stop, the quails would no longer come, and the Israelites could finally eat some real meat in the promised land, instead of those little, tiny, poor excuse of chickens running around in the wilderness. They would finally be able to partake of the produce and the benefits of the land. And so as we understand this, or we begin to gain some understanding of this, Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, give us a little bit more context as we go, as we come through the message. I'd like to read that with you this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, and then reading through our text, verse 9. Verse 7 says, Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love for 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments." I was in a moment this last week. I'm going to describe it to you real quick. And I'm not sure if you process life this way at all. Some of you might. Some of you may be light years ahead of me in terms of how you process stuff and things. But I describe it this way. There's an orbit that goes around my head. It's an invisible orbit. Obviously, you can't see it because that would be weird. But there's this orbit around my head. And things will come in that orbit into my view. And it will get my attention. And I'll think about it, or be distracted by it, or be worried by it, or be challenged by it, or whatever the case may be. And it'll tend to sit in front of me and then move on in its orbit. And some things are much wider in their orbit. They take longer to come back into view. Other things seem like they're just spinning like a rat in a cage, and it is just zing, 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 zing. And it comes constantly into my view, constantly into my view. And does anybody relate with anything like that? So I call it my mental orbit. And so last week, I was in a moment where my mental orbit was just, it was bonkers, to just kind of describe it that way. I mean, things were coming into view and then sneaking out of view. Things I needed to process and deal with seemed like they just escaped. And things I shouldn't be worried about, things that I shouldn't care about, were taking front view. They were taking first priority. And I just couldn't get the chaos to fall into line. Does anybody associate with that? Help me out a little bit. Okay. There's a small army of us that are willing to say that this chaos just goes all around like this. So for me, what helps is that I start to write things down. And so when I get into that loop, there were a lot of different things that were coming in and out of that mental orbit, that brain orbit. I mean, I was thinking about practical things, the siding on the house in general. I wonder if my R value is enough in the house coming into the winter. I mean, why? Probably because I saw an email about it, and I was too focused on the R value of the insulation in my house. I was thinking about the car, and making sure we were up to keeping track of the maintenance and all of that kind of thing. And I was thinking about the finances. Come on, somebody. Anybody think about the finances here and there? I was thinking about the schedule coming into the fall for us personally and for the church. And so practical things were in the orbit. And then relational things were in the orbit. And pastoral things were in the orbit. And parenting things were, because it doesn't matter how old your children get, you are still parenting those beloved gifts and treasures that God has blessed you with at some way, shape, or form. I love all of you kids very, very much. I do. But, oh, goodness gracious, figure some of these things out. No, I say that tongue in cheek. My daughter is the only one I think in here right now, and my son-in-law. You need to figure some things out, Connor. Anyway, parenting things, grandparenting things, coming in and out of the orbit, future things, present things, past things, coming into the orbit. Anybody just done with the analogy yet? Anybody done with this? Spiritual things, philosophical things. And I found myself in this loop, not able to concentrate or focus or finish any of the things that were coming in. And so, as I alluded to earlier, for me, when I get in these moments, I've got to stop, I've got to pause, and I have to write. I have to get the stuff out of my head, off of my chest, and write. And so I grabbed my journal. That I don't write every day. Not every week. I think when I put this journal entry in, I was a few months down the road, actually, from my last journal entry. And so I sat down, I brought that journal out, and I just purposed myself to write. And before I did, I started flipping pages in the journal. And as I started to review some of those things, as I started to review what I wrote, as I started to review messages from, or notes from my dad's messages that he has preached, or whatever the case may be, I began noticing how many times I wrote down the phrase, God is faithful. And I won't do this, but if I should choose to show you all of those journal entries, you would see pages filled with all kinds of words. And then you would see, God is faithful. And I don't do this all the time, but I just began to read. And I flipped way back to the beginning of the journal and I began to read. And I started noticing the times. And I began to take in the words, God is faithful. He's never failed me. He's never given up on me. He's never ignored me. He's never hid himself from me. He's never played hard to get. When I've sought him, he's made himself easy to find, because he is the faithful God. Isaiah 45, verse 18, the latter part of 18 into 19 says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Listen to this now, or maybe read it with me, whatever you choose. God will continue to speak, and he will say, I have not spoken in secret, from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said, listen to this, I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Those are powerful phrases right there. I have not spoken in secret, God says. To the descendants of Jacob, I have not said, seek me in vain. Rather, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, David would say to Solomon, his son, and say, you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Listen now, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. And as I began to write, I noticed the words started to have a different flavor and they started to carry a different rhythm. Those thoughts and subsequent words began to flow with the rhythm of the faithfulness of God. Now, there's a couple things I can tell you. One, not all the problems went away. Not all the issues were settled. Not all the challenges were conquered. Not all of the chaos was calmed. But there was an infusion of God's faithfulness that allowed me to write from a place of peace because God was found in the moment that I sought him. And as I found him, he reminded me that he is always faithful. And so what I'd like to do today to end the message, I would like to share, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, I might elaborate on a couple of them, but I just want to share with you this morning, on a very personal way, some reminders from the journal, my personal journal, as I have them written down in my journal. I'm going to share those with you today. Why? Because I needed a reminder last week that God is faithful. I needed a reminder to the song we said that not for a minute was I forsaken, but God has and always will be in the place that I occupy because he has created me for a plan and a purpose in this day and in this hour, and he will never leave or forsake. And if that's true for me, it's true for you. You have been created with purpose and a plan. And God allowed you to be born in this day and in this hour to accomplish something for him, for his glory. Whether you believe it or not, I want you to know today that God has called you, not just called you his own and his child, but called you to a destiny and a purpose and a calling. That God has indeed put an anointing on your life to serve him in this day and this hour. God has placed you in this moment in time to be a voice of righteousness in a voice that is not in a place that is not very righteous right now. He has called you in a time and a place to stand for truth when truth is up to everybody's opinion and definition of truth. He has called you to a place as a child of God to stand for what Scripture calls truth and to lovingly and to passionately and to powerfully declare the love of Jesus to a generation who needs to know the love of Jesus. You need to know today that you are called to this place, that God has not given up on you, and that God indeed is faithful to everything that he has promised you and everything that he has called you to. And when you feel the most inadequate or when you feel the most not empowered, when you feel the most beaten down and treaded upon, I want you to know that God is faithful. Even in those nasty, scary, chaotic moments, God is faithful. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's back up a little bit. I want to give you just simply six reminders from the journal. Jimmy, if you can hear me, I'm going to do my best to get the worship team back up here this morning. And so if you could let Sharina know, we'll navigate through that. Number one, reminders from the journal. Number one, directly as they were written in my journal. When you doubt your purpose, God is faithful. And the scripture that reinforces that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. And that says, God who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And so the encouragement for you today, like it was to me, that when you doubt your purpose, when you doubt your future, when you doubt your life, when you doubt anything that God has called you to, I want you to know that God is faithful. He's not intimidated by your doubt. He's not afraid of your doubt. And He's not going to run and hide from your doubt, but He's going to meet you in that place, and He's going to prove to you that He is faithful. And in His faithfulness, He will reveal to you what your calling is and what your purpose is. Number two, when you are tempted, God is faithful. Can I just take a raise of hands for a minute? It's a really ridiculous thing to do, but you've been tempted before? Anyone? Yeah, all of us raise our hands. Say, of course we have. Anybody experienced those in an amped up version where it seems like the enemy has just got you in his crosshairs and it's a full on frontal assault with things you thought you put to bed long, 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 long time ago? Somehow they rattle out of the closet and they slap you in the face and you're having to deal with temptation that you just didn't think you had to deal with anymore. When you're tempted, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. How many of you know the kind of comfort that's in that verse right there? Number three. When evil comes against you, God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith, but God is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We live in an evil day and in an evil hour. And when the evil one comes, when the evil comes in like a flood, Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. When evil comes against you, I want you to know that God is faithful, because evil will come against you, and we need to remember that God is faithful. Number five. When hope seems lost, God is faithful. And I think there's some emotion attached to this one, not simply because of what I wrote in my journal about it, but because I think there's somebody here today who is close to giving up hope. You're just close to giving up hope. And as much as I want to encourage you not to give up hope, the temptation is still there. But when hope seems lost, I'm wondering if you might be able to say the next part. God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Lastly this morning, when we sin, God is faithful. This would probably be one of those journal entries where you would not have permission to go. And if you were honest, you wouldn't let me go into your journal when it talks about your sin either. Because there's moments when one of your pastors named Eddie sins. And I wish it was a whole lot less frequent than it is. But there are times when it's not. And I don't think that changes your opinion of me. If it does, that opinion of me doesn't matter. God's opinion of me matters. And my sin is forgiven. Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's the only opinion that I need, is that He is just and He is faithful. And in my repentance, He renews the joy of my salvation. As we come to the closing today, I want us to just sing together one of the songs that we already sang, "Not for a Minute Was I Forsaken." I hope that it serves as a benediction and a prayer to us today. But to do that, I want to follow kind of a pattern that my dad takes us in sometimes, and I want to encourage all of us to come to the altar. So in just a moment, I'll invite you to do that. And if you're not comfortable with it, that's completely okay. I want you to know that. You're not looked at differently. There's no judgment. Not everybody's comfortable with coming with everyone to the altar, and that's okay. But we're going to have a minute as we close this service out where we just declare to God that not for a minute have we ever been forsaken. Why? Because among other things, Deuteronomy chapter 7 says that He is God. Additionally, it says He is the faithful God. And for those of you who are wrestling with the faithfulness of a faithful God today, I want you to know that He is faithful. As the worship team begins to sing, could I invite you to come with me today and stand at this altar? And as we close the service, close it out in a moment of worship and prayer with one another. Let's sing that again with the worship team. Connor, I'd like you to pan out and raise the camera up just to get the cross in the shot, but leave the stream going. Thanks, buddy. I get the sense that there's someone who just, you feel what the song said. You feel forsaken. And you definitely do not feel like God is in this place. You don't feel like God is with you in this space. But you do very really feel like you are forsaken. And because you feel like you're forsaken, in very, very real terms, you're wrestling with the faithfulness of God. If I feel this way, how can God be faithful? And as valid as our feelings are, and as much as we need to pay attention to them, sometimes we need to tell our feelings to get in line. because the fact of the matter is you are not forsaken, and your feelings of being forsaken need to get in line behind the faithfulness of God. This isn't an easy thing to admit to, but that's how you feel. You might be up here, you might still be out in the audience. But if it's you, I want to pray for you. So you got to let me know somehow. Got to raise your hand, let me know. I want to encourage you to come right here so we can pray and get our prayer team to pray with you too. Believe that God will change that feeling of being forsaken into the real knowledge of being loved and cared for. Anybody want to respond to that this morning? Thank you. If you do, like Lisa did here, Jenny wants you to come forward to just come and join us in this space right here. Mary, would you come help me? Mom, Penny, other ladies that are close, come right in. It's a tougher one, but there's a dude in here that feels that way. It's in my gut. I feel it. There's a dude who feels like this. And responding isn't going to fix all your issues, but responding is going to help you put your pride in place. And it's going to allow God to minister something to you this morning that is very special to you. So to the dudes in the house, if that's you, I really want to encourage you to respond. So if there's a man in the house that feels like you're being forsaken and wrestling with the faithfulness of God, I want you to come join me right here. Right here. We're almost done. We'll dismiss in just a moment. But we're going to take the time to pray here. Any other guys want to respond to this? It's one of those things. I know you're there. I know you're there. I'm going to pray for you regardless because I think I have an idea who it is. But I'm not going to push you and I'm not going to force you. But God's going to do a work in your heart this morning. Regardless of if you respond, God's going to do a work in your heart this morning. He's going to change you. All right. Could you join me if you're out in the congregation? Could you just stand as we offer one final prayer and then dismiss? And let's all just maybe put our hands out towards the Lord this way. However you choose, but sometimes it's easy to just put them right close to you. It's not very obtrusive and pretty intimate. So maybe I could encourage you to just put your hands out this way as we pray. Jesus, we love you and we're so thankful for our time together today. As hard as it is for maybe some of us to believe, we believe that you are in this place, and not just this place, but you're in our place. You're in our place of suffering. You're in our place of difficulty. You're also in our place of rejoicing. You're in our place of victory. And it just proves to us that we are never forsaken. So God, as we leave this place today, will you help us to submit ourselves to your plan as Jacob did and allow you to touch us in a way that would change us, that would mark us, would cause us to behave differently, to respond differently, to engage with you differently. And help us all to know as we leave this place that God is faithful. In Jesus' name. Can somebody get excited with me today and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.